got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil, a lot of bad people, a lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them, a lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Wednesday. We're hoping to get with Chuck Muth in just a little bit. We'll have a chance to talk to him. By the way, he is organizing, which I think is a really cool idea, if indeed he's doing this. It may be somebody else that's actually doing it, but a mass tax pledge signing event with Grover Norquist. And I think that is a cool deal. I want to see who is going to step forward and sign this no tax pledge. And what I found interesting was that Chuck Muth went back and looked. Because normally when folks sign the no tax pledge, normally when they sign the no tax pledge, they don't vote, members that get elected don't vote for higher taxes. Now, there are some notable exceptions. And in fact, according to Chuck Muth, only two Nevada legislators who signed the pledge voted for the largest tax increase in the history of the state. And that was State Senator Michael Roberson and Assemblyman John Hambrick. Both were members of leadership. And every other pledge signer apparently voted no. Now, one of the things that I think as a state we're going to have to come to grips with is this whole notion of, do we need higher taxes? We've got the Clark County School Board, the Board of Trustees. We've got others around the state who believe that we need to raise taxes for, essentially raise taxes for education for our kids. Even though, as a part of that largest tax increase in the history of our state, $600 million out of $1.5 billion supposedly went to education, went to the kids. But now what we're finding is the legislature, in their infinite wisdom, pulled a little sleight of hand. And they essentially pulled out of the budget money and replaced it with commerce tax money. The same way they apparently are ready to pull money out of the general fund for education, and that they are essentially going to replace that money with marijuana money. I mean, this is at the very least disingenuous, and it sounds to me like this is a sleight of hand, and it's essentially trying to do something that they should not be doing. And that's why this whole notion, of a no tax pledge, normally those who sign a no tax pledge usually adhere to that no tax pledge. Now, here's something to think about. One of the things that we can talk about that with you. This whole notion that when you pledge not to raise taxes, similar to the George H.W. Bush read my lips, no new taxes. Then what did he do? He went out and he raised taxes. And then he got voted out of office. That should be the way it works. If you want to raise taxes, then you have to know that you may get voted out of office. Unless you've got a damn good excuse. A damn good excuse. Now, I want to go to the audio sound bites. And first of all, Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, made a speech yesterday where he said he will not be bullied. And he, I think the word he used was extorted. Here is, this is cut two. And this is Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general.
The way we operate in the Department of Justice, if we're going to accuse somebody of wrongdoing, we have to have admissible evidence and credible witnesses. We need to prepare to prove our case in court. And we have to affix our signature to the charging document. That's something that not everybody appreciates. There's a lot of talk about FISA applications. And many people that I see talking about it seem not to recognize what a FISA application. A FISA application is actually a warrant, just like a search warrant. In order to get a FISA search warrant, you need an affidavit, a career federal law enforcement officer who swears that the information in the affidavit is true and correct to the best of his knowledge and belief. And that's the way we operate. And if it's wrong, sometimes it is, if you find out there's anything incorrect in there, that person is going to face consequences. Sometimes there are innocent errors, but if not, you can face discipline or potentially even prosecution. And so that's the way we operate. You know, we have people who are accountable. And so I just don't have anything to say about documents like that that nobody has the courage to put their name on and that they leak in that way. But I can tell you, you know, there have been people who have been making threats privately and publicly against me for quite some time. And I think they should understand by now the Department of Justice is not going to be extorted. We're going to do what's required by the rule of law, and any kind of threats that anybody makes are not going to affect the way we do our job. We have a responsibility, and we take an oath. That's the whole point. When you take these jobs, you need to be appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate, and that actually is a pretty thorough process. And then you raise your right hand and you swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You promise to bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. And that's your responsibility. Everybody in the department takes that oath. We have 115,000 employees, and if they violate it, they know they're going to be held accountable.
Essentially throwing down the gauntlet. I will not become a victim of extortion. I will not be extorted. The Department of Justice will not be extorted. Well, we'll see. We'll see what you think about that. Stick around. Coming up, Corey Lewandowski. A lot of people believe that he is coming back. He may end up the chief of staff, or that he may just be coming back to run the White House. Or be a part of the campaign. We're not really sure yet. But I keep hearing all kinds of reports that Corey Lewandowski they're going to put the band back together for the 2020 re-election campaign. And that Corey Lewandowski is going to be a part of it. We'll find out. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Wednesday. It is Hump Day. It is Live and Local now.
In 1776, men and women said no to the swamp and chose independence. 2018 is no different. Insiders want to buy, not elect our government. Dan Schwartz won't take their money. He believes in you, the voters, not billionaires and their lobbyists.
Paid for by friends of Dan Schwartz.
Do you want to earn a higher rate of return than you're making in the stock market? I'm talking about beating the market year after year. Hi, I'm Greg Herline. If you want to make more tax-free income, call me today at 888-738-1764. I specialize in helping people make more tax-free income with an IRA-approved retirement vehicle. And best of all, it's approved by the IRS. So what are you waiting on? Call me at 888-738-1764 and take control of your financial future with tax-free income. Call me at 888-738-1764. The consultation is absolutely free, so call me at 888-738-1764.
Horizon Trust Company is an independent passive custodian and is not associated or affiliated with and does not recommend, promote, or advise any specific investment opportunity, investment company, or any agents, employees, representatives, or other of such firms or entities. Investments are not FDIC insured, offer no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Take control of your financial future. Call 888-738-1764.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. Look, folks, there's a lot more on the ballot than just governor, senator, and congressman. You need to focus on who we elect as judges. That's the place where we're losing our country. In Nevada, the elites haven't taken our rights away to pick our own judges. Yet. Please check out Nevada Supreme Court election for open seat C on the June 12th primary ballot. This is the first time in a decade that Nevada voters have a chance to pick a justice for the highest court in Nevada for themselves. Check out Alan Lefevre, website Alan4NSCCC.com. The courts can be the last line of defense when government overreaches and chips away at our rights. Alan Lefevre is the correct choice if you believe in personal and economic freedom. Alan fled California because it was already a nanny state 30 years ago. He will not let Nevada go the way of California. Alan Lefevre believes, like our state's founding fathers, that Nevadans are a free people entitled to a limited government. Vote for Alan Lefevre. Go to Alan4NSCCC.com. That's Alan, the number 4, NSC for Nevada Supreme Court, CC.com. Alan Lefevre, to keep Nevada, Nevada, not California. Alan Lefevre.
I am Andrew Patterson, owner of Patterson Custom Homes, and I am a client of City National Bank. A couple of years ago, my business was growing rapidly, and I needed a line of credit. But the bank I'd been with since I was 2 years old saw me as just a number, and they stonewalled me. So I spoke to Mike Kilbride, a business partner of mine, who has hooked up utilities at every one of the homes I've built for the last 17 years.
My name is Mike Kilbride, and I refer to Andrew Patterson to City National Bank.
Mike explained that City National is a relationship-based bank where they care about the individual. Less than a week after I met with the bank, I moved over all of my accounts, personal and business, and it was the easiest transition of my life. I have built over 170 custom homes, and that would not have been possible without the personalized service that City National provides for my family and my business.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. I know you have a busy life with lots of activities that may keep you from your radio or smartphone between 9 and noon. That's why we've created Live and Local Now on demand. You miss an interview? You want to hear my take on a current hot button issue? Then Live and Local Now on demand is where you want to be. Check it out on our website, KevinWallRadio.com. It's user-friendly and it's free. Try it out now. Go to KevinWallRadio.com.
They got Tesla. We got Faraday. We need a governor who will create high-tech, high-paid jobs and build schools that will educate our kids, not a $2 billion taxpayer-funded stadium. I get it.
Paid for by friends of Dan Schwartz.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Across the state of Nevada, it is Live and Local Now. Good to have you with us. The big deal over the last probably 12 hours has been Robert Mueller is suggesting that he may have to subpoena the president. And there, I mean, there, every legal eagle that we've heard from over the last 12 hours has a different view on this. And in fact, Alan Dershowitz disagreed, and this was, I guess, on Anderson Cooper last night, disagreed with his former student, Jeffrey Toobin, on the idea of hauling the president before a grand jury and the president essentially pleading the fifth. Here was this exchange. It was a rather, I don't know, rather uncomfortable exchange last night on 360 with Anderson Cooper.
I think right now the president's legal team should have no interest in answering these enormously broad questions voluntarily. They'll get the same broad questions artfully asked at a grand jury, but at least they'll be able to challenge A, the entire process of subpoenaing the president. They'll lose on that.
Second, you think that they will lose
I think they will lose on that. I think they will win on some areas of questioning. For example, why did you fire? What was your motive? What was your reasoning? I don't think you can question presidential acts that are covered by Article 2. But
you can't get to intent.
I don't think you can, or motive. But I think what you can get to is what the president's most vulnerable on, and that is business dealings before he became president. No court is going to deny the grand jury the power to get to those questions. So the irony is those questions that he has the best legal right to prevent are not the most important questions, whereas the ones he has no legal right to prevent are the most damaging questions.
Jeff, I mean, based on this reporting and you know, do you believe what the professor just said, that the subpoena seems to be where we're heading? I mean, in this article, it talks about how the president is fuming about the Michael Cohen raid, doesn't want to sit down. Talks about it, you know, 20 times a day, I think it says at some point in this article.
Right. I think, yes, I agree with Alan that a subpoena is coming, and I agree that ultimately the president will lose. I disagree that the courts will limit the Mueller much in what he can ask. I think he will be allowed to ask about motive because I think it's relevant. But the larger point is, I think the president has a way of short-circuiting this entire process, and I think that's what he's going to do, ultimately, which is take the fifth, which is refuse to answer.
No.
Can I finish,
yeah,
Alan?
There's just no
which
way
is,
do
which
that.
Is, you know, the president will denounce the process. It's a witch hunt. He doesn't want anything to do with this. There is nothing Mueller can do if the president
of
takes the fifth.
Of course there is.
And I think,
he gives him immunity, number
not,
one.
He's never going to give the president immunity.
Of course he is. Let me tell you why he'll give the president immunity. Because immunity doesn't apply in an impeachment proceeding. And no matter what Rosenstein says, you're not going to get a reversal of the Justice Department. Suddenly say, when the president is Trump, we've changed their mind. Now you can indict him. Now you can prosecute him. So he is at no risk of being indicted or prosecuted. He is at risk of being impeached. And if he foolishly takes the fifth, he gets to be asked all these same questions under immunity, and all the answers can be used against him in an impeachment proceeding. So I have to tell you, Jeffrey, you're an A-plus student, but boy, on this one, taking the fifth, I'm not even going to give you your grade. It won't happen.
I tell you what, this is going to get more and more interesting from a legal perspective. And I'm not an attorney. I'm not a constitutional scholar. But I'm going to tell you something. I can see down the road what a lot of the doomsdayers are calling the constitutional crisis. I don't know that it will come to that, but I'm going to tell you something. This could get real, real interesting. In fact, this could be like way more interesting than anything else. Then there's Corey Lewandowski. Corey Lewandowski, there are rumors out there that Corey Lewandowski is going to come back. And if John Kelly gets fired or gets reassigned or becomes the secretary or the administrator for the Veterans Administration, that Corey Lewandowski would move in as chief of staff. I don't know. I don't know that will happen. Not quite sure that'll happen. But Interesting deal. Let's go to Corey Lewandowski real quick. This is cut one. On with Chuck Todd. John Kelly and other White House staffers must buy into the Trump policy. Listen to how Corey, he's sounding like a chief of staff already.
John Kelly is an American hero, and I am thankful for the service he's provided, and I think I am very thankful for the discipline that he's brought to the White House. It's very important because it was a bit undisciplined before Gerald Kelly arrived, and I think he's done a good job managing the staff. But let me be clear, and this is not pointed at anybody individually, but the entire administration collectively. If you are not on this president's agenda, you do not deserve the privilege of serving in the administration. Whether you are the lowest level staffer or you are the highest level staffer, if you are not supporting this president and what he's trying to achieve for the American people, then you should have the opportunity to go and do something else in the private sector, because this job is one that takes everybody moving in the same direction to be successful. And that's
what you think John Kelly has instilled enough discipline?
No, I do think there's a significant amount of discipline in the White House. But look, there are always leakers, and part of those leakers are because they're holdovers from the previous administration, or, Chuck, because there are individuals who are still not on the president's agenda. And okay. Those people shouldn't have the right to be in the building.
Corey Lewandowski sounded more like a chief of staff. And that's a good – I would like to see Corey Lewandowski. And again, we've had him on the show. I had a chance to meet him. He signed my book, Let Trump Be Trump. He's the co-author of that book. And I think he will be coming back. And what he said yesterday, I think, underscores that. Coming up, I'm very excited. We were supposed to have Chuck Muth on at 9:05. All of our phones in the entire building went down all at once. Guest lines, internal lines, talk show lines. So if you were calling and all it did is just ring and ring and ring and ring, there's a reason. Our entire phone system was down. That has been corrected. Our phone line's available at 844-2-NEVADA. That's 844-263-8232. And what we're going to do in our next segment, talk to Chuck Muth. Also, we will check in with Pat Casale at the RNC meetings in Florida. It's not a convention, I guess you could say. It's their annual meetings in Florida. Nice duty if you can get it. That's what Pat Casale's doing. Yeah, no, I think it's really cool. He jumped on a plane yesterday after he talked to us. Stick around. We got a whole bunch to do. We're going to talk about this no-tax signing party and who is going to show up and who has said they're not showing up. We'll get to that more coming up. Live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. Normally, just after 9 o'clock, we have Chuck Muth on, the president of Citizen Outreach. Unfortunately, our entire phone system, I think it was for the entire building, the entire, the three-story building, all the phones went out all at once. We've got them back, and so we've got Chuck Muth back, and the president of Citizen Outreach. Chuck, thanks so much for sticking with us. I want to ask you about something that Nancy Pelosi said yesterday. She said, talking about the midterms, quote, "We will win. I will run for speaker." What do you make of this? First of all, is this just idle chatter from a senior citizen, or is this something different?
Lord, I hope it's true. Knowing politicians, as you and I both do from being in this business for so long, their egos are so huge that it's a rare occasion that once someone gains the type of power that Nancy Pelosi has enjoyed in the past, that they give it up voluntarily. So, I would guess her full intention is to stay in that position leading the Democrats. I hope it's true because I think she's been a disaster for them. She's the gift that keeps on giving to us, especially when she called the tax cuts that we all got crumbs. I think that she probably does intend to stay. I hope she does stay, but I'm not sure that she'll be able to. I think there are more and more Democrats waking up every day realizing that the world has changed with Donald Trump in the White House and that it's not going to be the cakewalk that they think it's going to be to take back the House next November.
Again, Chuck Muth joining us from Citizen Outreach on our City National Bank guest hotline. I want to ask you, the caravan, hundreds, maybe thousands of people, mostly from Central America, from Guatemala, other countries in that region. They all came, they traversed across Mexico to get to our southern border. They're there. And now the question is, what should we do with them?
Well, I found it interesting. I saw a comment, maybe it was on Twitter this morning, where somebody showed that photograph of these folks some of whom were sitting on top of the wall that's on the border there in San Diego, and they said, if you, it was really stupid. If you build a 40-foot wall, you know, we're just going to, Mexico's just going to build a 41-foot ladder. But here's the thing. Imagine that photograph, and I hope everybody who's listening maybe saw that photograph of them sitting on the wall. Instead of imagining a 41-foot ladder, imagine no wall at all. You know, this is what I think people keep missing. It's not perfect. It's not impenetrable, but it certainly dissuades people. It, you know, it makes it a little bit more difficult to get in. It's just like having a watchdog, you know, in your yard guarding your house. Does it mean that a burglar can't get past the watchdog? No. Does it mean that there are probably going to be fewer burglars who are going to give it a try and are going to try, you know, somebody else's house? Yes, absolutely. Frankly, Mexico needs to deal with this problem. They let those folks, you know, travel through Mexico. They made it to the American border. It's on them to do something with these folks. It's not. It should not be the United States' responsibility unless or until they actually do penetrate the wall and they come onto our territory. Then we're going to have to send them back.
I've seen some of the talking heads on cable news talking about how this is going to actually help the president get his border wall funded. Do you think this are these pictures that we're seeing from the border, even the pictures of moms with infant children, are those pictures going to help the president or hurt the president?
Well, I mean, they use mothers and children as human shields, the left does, in trying to advance their agenda. But when you see, you know, this mass of people trying to illegally cross the border into our country, I think it reminds people of exactly why President Trump said something needs to be done. Most people will see the mothers and children, but will also go beyond that. And they will see drug dealers and potential terrorists coming over that same border, and that fear of the danger that's posed, not from mothers and children, but from others who aren't mothers and children that mean to do us harm, and I think that's what's going to end up winning the day in this argument.
Again, Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach on our City National Bank guest hotline. I looked at the calendar the other day, and I realized we are now under a month away from early voting. May 26th is early voting. I see all the ads and all of the A-frames out there on Rainbow and different streets around our community, and they all say June 12th, Election Day, but May 26th is the first day of early voting. Your thoughts on what's going on now? We're now under a month to the first voting. Is there going to be a big blue wave here in the state of Nevada?
I don't see any sign of that. The way the Democrats have, and I'm particularly looking, Kevin, at the state legislative races, particularly, the Democrats have had drawn the lines with Republican acquiescence after the last census in such a way that it's almost impossible for Republicans to win a majority in either the Senate or the Assembly in this particular election cycle. And it's more likely that Republicans will lose maybe one or two seats in the Assembly, probably hold their own, maybe lose a seat in the Senate. That's not a huge blue wave. That's simply keeping things the way they were, other than the big red wave of 2014, which was an anomaly. So I don't think there's going to be a big, huge wave, but I do see Republicans losing a seat or two. But that's a factor of the way the lines have been drawn favorably for Democrats running for those legislative seats.
I know that in your Muth's Truths just out, you are inviting folks for a mass tax pledge signing event with Grover Norquist. I think this is a great idea. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and what the genesis of this kind of event was?
Yeah, this is going to be an absolutely fun event. In 2015, there were 13 Republicans in the Assembly who voted for the largest tax increase in the state's history. Since that time, either through forced retirements, losses in primaries, losses in generals, 11 of those 13 are gone. One of the remaining rhinos, Republican in name only, tax-hiking rhinos, left is Assemblyman James Oscarson, who's the heart of the district is out there in Pahrump in Nye County. And he's being challenged by Dennis Hoff, one of my clients, And there's a good chance that Hoff could take him out in the primary. And he signed the Taxpayer Protection Pledge, in which candidates promised to oppose and vote against any and all efforts to increase taxes. So Grover Norquist, the father of the tax pledge, is flying out from Washington, D.C. for one night. He's going to do a campaign rally in support of Dennis Hoff and has invited every and any candidate who wishes to sign the tax pledge, who maybe hasn't signed it yet, to come on out to the rally, and we'll do a mass signing and allow Grover to witness and sign the tax pledge himself, get a photo taken with Grover that they candidates can use in their campaign literature and on their websites, and it's just going to be a great taxpayer rally. And I think we're actually thinking of maybe printing up cards that taxpayers can sign, promising to vote against any candidate who doesn't sign the tax pledge and get everybody involved in it. So it's going to be a fun event. It will be at the Prump Senior Center on Friday, May the 11th, starting at 6 p.m., open to the public, free admission, and there's going to be one of the contestants from the Chopped television reality series is going to be out there preparing, I'm not sure exactly what food. They say it's comfort food. I've never heard the term before, but I'm going to guess it's like backyard barbecue type food.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Let me just ask you, though, this signing party, it sounds like it's part of what amounts to a campaign promise. And we all know that candidates have broken campaign promises for as long as I can remember. What is the history of the pledge, the no tax pledge? I think I saw something in one of your pieces where only two signers actually voted for the largest tax increase in the history of our state. One of them was Michael Roberson, and I forget who the other one is.
The other one was John Hambrick, who ended up being the assembly speaker in that 2015 session. And that's an excellent point, Kevin, because these candidates can say anything they want on the campaign trail. And then if they go back on a word, like Oscarson campaigned and said he was opposed to tax hikes, and then he voted for the commerce tax and all those other tax hikes. And they get away with it because they can say, well, that's not exactly what I said. I made an exception for this. The beauty of the Taxpayer Protection Pledge is that it's so simple, and you just there's no way to wiggle out of it. It says that they promise the voters that they will oppose and vote against any and all efforts to increase taxes, and that includes fees disguised as taxes. And there's just something about putting it in writing and putting your signature to it that really, really has a, it's not perfect, as you mentioned. Michael Roberson and John Hambrick still voted for the tax hike, even though they signed the tax pledge. But every other tax pledge signer voted against that tax hike. None of the people who voted for the tax hike had signed the pledge. So it really is a very effective tool that voters can use by asking their candidates that want their vote, hey, did you sign the tax pledge? And if you get them to sign it, it is far more likely that they will honor it than if they simply give a verbal.
Chuck, can you give me a brief list? Who has signed it? But more importantly, are there any notables that have not yet signed the no tax pledge?
If you go to Citizen Outreach PAC, PAC, citizenoutreachpac.com, I've got an entire list of who all, I'm keeping an ongoing list. Anyone who signs it, we add their name as a signer. And I just started yesterday, Kevin, I'm starting to list the names of candidates who have not signed the pledge. And not only am I listing their names, but I'm listing their phone number and their email address. You know, it's one thing for me to urge these candidates to sign the tax pledge, but I don't live in all of their districts, so a lot of times they just try to blow me off and say, ah, that's just that loudmouth right-wing Chuck Muth who hates taxes. But when voters and especially donors start calling these candidates and saying, hey, how come you haven't signed the tax pledge? We're not going to volunteer to walk for you door to door. We're not giving you any money. You can't use us as an endorsement unless you sign the tax pledge. That increases the pressure on these candidates to put their money where their mouth is and actually sign the tax pledge. So that's something new. If they go to the citizenoutreachpac.com, they'll be able to find that. We did it yesterday for there were four Republican candidates running in the primary against Senator Dean Heller. Dean Heller has signed the tax pledge. He has honored it. in office. The other four, one has already signed it. I'm just waiting for it to come in to me. So it does work because a voter did contact the candidate that was in the district and said, hey, how come you haven't signed the pledge? She said, well, where do I go? She went to the website, she signed it, and that's how this thing works. And it's in the taxpayers' best interest to do that before they get elected, not after the fact.
And the ones that have, the other ones that are running against Dean Heller, am I right? Sherry Brooks, Sarah Gazala, and I apologize if I butchered the name, Vic Harrell and Tom Heck, are those the others that are running against him?
That is correct, in the primary. Once we get past the primaries, then we'll look to the general election. You know, I'd love to see some Democrats, some conservative Democrats, if there are any, you know, running against hardcore liberals, sign it also. It's been, you know, our experience historically that Democrats don't sign it, but there have been a few, and we certainly welcome Democrats, independents, nonpartisans to sign the tax pledge as well.
Well, and I love it when Democrats, when they're running in a district that is upside down for them, they all of a sudden come out trying to say, well, I'm the most moderate Democrat you'll ever see, which is something that, believe it or not, it's something that Steve Sisolak said to me on my program years ago. Hey, I'm the most moderate Democrat you'll ever see. And now he's trying to live that down and become Chris G. Light in the Democrat primary. Hey, I'm just curious though. Those that don't sign the pledge, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to vote for every tax increase that comes down the pike. Am I right?
That is absolutely true. I'll give you one good example. I remember Assemblyman John Ellison from Elko, who is just absolutely, you know, a staunch fiscal conservative. He opted not to sign the taxpayer protection pledge. He and I went back and forth on it. But he's, you know, one of those rare examples where he's actually kept his verbal word without putting his name on the pledge. It's just unfortunate that too many times, once these lobbyists get a hold of these elected officials in Carson City and they start twisting their arms or holding out carrots, you know, if you vote for this tax hike, you know, we'll be there for you for your reelection. Most of them cave in, but John Ellison didn't. He didn't sign the pledge, but he also did not vote for the largest tax increase in history. And I think there were one or two more as well. I just can't remember. Oh, Ira Hansen, he was another one who hadn't signed the tax pledge, but voted against the largest tax increase in history. Unfortunately, Ira did vote for a bunch of other lesser taxes. And again, that's where the tax pledge comes into play.
Again, Chuck Booth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach, on our City National Bank guest hotline. In a final couple of minutes, I want to talk a little bit about what you see in your crystal ball looking ahead to November. And in particular, when it comes to the governor's race, we always worry about voter integrity and voter fraud and all of this stuff. In a race that could be razor thin in the gubernatorial election, do you worry about the integrity of the vote? I know we've purged tens of thousands of voters from the rolls, but have we done enough? And do you feel confident that we will have voter integrity in November?
Well, I hope so. I don't think, let's be honest, I mean, there are voting irregularities, there is voter fraud committed. We all know that. It's just very difficult to prove. Unfortunately, the way the system is set up, our Secretary of State's hands, regardless of who the Secretary of State is, are tied. The federal government knows who people who are in this country illegally are, because they get benefits. Their kids get to go to our public schools, they get health care benefits, they get welfare benefits, they get food stamps. The Supreme Court has ruled that they are entitled to that even though they are not citizens and they're here illegally. The problem is the federal government has refused to make that list available to the states. So the states can't go in and match up the database and say, okay, here's a list of people in the country illegally, let's see if any of them are registered to vote. And without that list, the Secretary of State really can't do much about it. Now, it's something that the president has talked about. He tried to set up a commission to investigate this problem. That we got no cooperation from the Democrats in a lot of states. So that project has been turned over now to the Department of Homeland Security. I don't know exactly where they are in trying to fix this problem, but I hope they're making making strides in resolving the issue, and hopefully it'll be before the November elections.
And the mass tax pledge signing event is going to be when and where?
Again, it will be on next Friday, a week from Friday, May the 11th at 6 p.m. at the Senior Center in Pahrump.
And it's free and open to the public?
Free and open to the public, and I hope that I spoke with Grover's office yesterday, his press office. I told them that Andrew Paul, your producer, had reached out and asked if Grover could come on the show, and they told me that they were going to try to work that out with you, so hopefully be able to talk to the man
himself.
So.
I've had him on before. He's just absolutely amazing. Chuck, thanks for waiting around for us. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again just after 9 o'clock next Wednesday.
You got it. Always a pleasure, Kevin. Take care.
Thanks, man. Chuck Muth. The president of Citizen Outreach joining us live and local now.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Hello, I am Judge Leon Aberstury, and I'm running for the Nevada Supreme Court Seat C. Too many judges lose focus on the fact that they are public servants. The courtrooms provided by the citizens of the state of Nevada belong to the people of Nevada. Judges must remember that they preside over a courtroom. They do not own it. I, Judge Leon Aberstury, believe that the core mission of any court system is to resolve the problems that people bring to a court in a timely manner after giving the parties a fair opportunity to be heard. Judges must use common sense and apply the laws passed by the legislature. Appellate courts must respect the separation of powers and the roles of the legislature and executive branches. I believe that our courts should not lose focus on the fact that the courts are affecting real lives. Appellate judges should not rule in the abstract and must always consider the human impact their decisions will have. People deserve to have their cases treated with dignity. Please cast your vote for Judge Leon Aberstury. Paid for by the LA for Justice Campaign Fund.
Hi, I'm Amy Jones, and I am running for Assembly District 35. As a mother of three, I am very concerned about our failed educational system here in Southern Nevada. Every legislative session, we allocate more money to a broken system with no improvement. Our children are our most valuable resource. They deserve much better. As a real solution, I will push for school choice, which has proven to be successful in raising performance standards. We must fund educational savings accounts. As I fight for my children, I will fight for yours. Go to electamyjones.com. Paid for by Elect Amy Jones.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
This is Danny Tarkanian, your conservative candidate for Congress, asking you to join President Trump and Adam Laxalt in supporting me for Congress. I'm a principled conservative who isn't beholden to special interests on either side of the aisle. That's why insiders from both parties falsely attack and defame me. They know I'll upend the status quo, and that starts with passing congressional term limits. The president and Nevada legislators have term limits. So should the politicians in D.C. I'll stand with President Trump and fight for a secure border. And I'll stand with Adam Laxalt to give Nevadans more choice in their school's education. I'll be a leader on repealing Obamacare, and I'll fight all tax increases. Because raising taxes isn't how we balance the budget, it's how liberals will bankrupt hardworking Americans. I'm Danny Tarkanian, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because Congress needs real reform, now. Paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. One of the things I love is we provide a platform for folks all across the state. It's called Nevada Voices.
It's time for Nevada Voices.
I'm Craig Mueller, Republican candidate for Attorney General. As I've traveled across all parts of this great state over the last few months, it has become clear to me Nevadans are fed up. They are fed up with being controlled by their government through decree instead of governed by them through consent. They are fed up with over 86% of land controlled by unelected federal bureaucrats who live 2,300 miles away in Washington. They are fed up with seeing the Constitution and our state laws ignored, not enforced. Well, I'm fed up too. That's why I'm running to be your next Attorney General. And when elected, I will file suit against the Bureau of Land Management to get them out of Nevada. Whenever the federal government oversteps its authority, I will push back. I will serve Nevada and the U.S. Constitutions and the people of Nevada, not special interests. But I can't do it without your help. Please go to Craig4Nevada.com to learn more about me and how you can support my race. That's Craig4Nevada.com.
Paid for by the committee to elect Craig Mueller.
You know, coming up on the program, we're going to get a rare twofer. Yeah. Yeah. Not just one Tarkanian, but two Tarkanians. Amy, the former chair of the Nevada Republican Party. Is there going to be a big blue wave in the state of Nevada? I'll ask her about that. And Danny Tarkanian running for Congress in CD3. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up live and local now.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. As all of you know a good conservative when I see one. Well, I've got a great one for you. I'm all in for former Assemblyman Brent Jones for Nevada Lieutenant Governor. I've known Brent for many years. He's a good businessman, but more importantly, he votes right every time. He stands up to the corrupt swamp creatures and votes to reduce taxes and provide school choice. He even brought a bill to remove Common Core from our state. He wants government to keep their hands off our guns. And he was the first elected official I'm aware of to publicly endorse Donald Trump for president. That took courage. We need guys like Brent if we're going to prevent our great state from becoming Sanctuary California East. Don't let the swamp take over Nevada. Please help Brent with a small donation of as little as $5. Text hashtag vote Brent to 53445. That's hashtag vote Brent to 53445. This election is so important for Nevada's future. Help take Nevada back. Help my great friend Brent Jones win for lieutenant governor. Go to votebrentjones.com. That's votebrentjones.com.